Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a deep dive into something absolutely vital to every single flight, yet often completely unseen. The complex world of aircraft wheels and brakes. You might think it's just about, you know, stopping the plane, but as we'll uncover, it's actually a dynamic, really high-stakes ecosystem. It keeps aircraft safely on the ground and, crucially, gets them back in the air efficiently. We've gathered some fascinating insights from industry leaders right at the forefront, people like Nicolas Jacobson, the CEO of TP Aerospace, and Laurent Boissieu, who's the managing director of Antavia. Plus, we'll get a look at the broader OEM landscape, particularly from Safran.
And our mission today really is to pull back the curtain a bit on how this critical part of aviation maintenance actually works, why it's so fundamental to airline efficiency, and maybe what the future holds for these components that are, well, literally where the rubber meets the road. Or the runway, I guess.
Exactly.
Get ready for some maybe surprising facts and hopefully a clear picture of these sort of unsung heroes of every takeoff and landing. Okay, let's unpack this.
So let's start with the basics. What is it about aircraft wheels and brakes specifically that makes their maintenance so unique? And why is it so, you know, directly tied to the rhythm of global airline activity?
Well, what's truly fascinating here is how immediately the maintenance market for these bits mirrors global airline operations. It's almost one-to-one. Nicolas Jacobson from TP Aerospace, he emphasizes that wheels and brakes are among the most cycle-driven parts on an aircraft.
Cycle-driven.
Yeah, meaning it's not just wear and tear over time, like calendar time. It means their upkeep is directly linked to every single takeoff and landing. Every time an aircraft completes a flight cycle, that's one step closer to maintenance for its wheels and brakes.
Right, okay.
So to give you a concrete idea of these typical maintenance cycles, the set of aircraft wheels usually needs servicing every, say, 250 to 400 flight cycles. Steel brakes, they're a bit tougher, maybe 800 to 1,000 cycles. But the real workhorses, carbon brakes, they can go an impressive 1,500, maybe even 2,000 flight cycles before they need maintenance.
Wow, that's a big difference.
It is. And this inherent cycle-driven nature, it just makes them incredibly sensitive to the overall pace of air travel and, you know, how much airlines are actually using their planes.
That direct correlation to flight cycles really does highlight their importance, doesn't it? It's purely about operational tempo, not just sitting around. So given this constant cyclical demand, what does this actually mean for the specialized companies, the MROs, operating in this critical area?
Well, that raises a really important question. How do global companies like TP Aerospace, led by Nicolas Jacobson, manage such an inherently cycle-dependent business, especially one that spans continents? It requires an incredibly precise understanding of airline operations and, frankly, a highly distributed, really agile infrastructure.
And TP Aerospace has this huge global network, right? Operating from 12 strategic locations worldwide. What's the practical impact of having that kind of widespread footprint in this industry?
Yeah, that global presence, you know, from their Copenhagen HQ to facilities across Asia, Europe, the Americas, it's not just nice to have, it's a strategic imperative. It allows them to, like, pivot resources and inventory almost in real time as regional demands for maintenance shift, which they do.
Makes sense.
They support nearly 1,000 aircraft globally, everything from regional jets up to the big wide bodies across both passenger and cargo operators, often through these long-term service contracts. This gives them a critical edge, you know, in a market that's always moving.
Okay. And what are they seeing right now in terms of market dynamics?
Well, what they're seeing currently is pretty telling. 2025, it started with maybe some unexpected turbulence. Largely, it seems, due to U.S. tariffs and the sort of economic uncertainty they kicked off. But the overall trajectory for the industry, it still remains positive. Key indicators like RPK revenue passenger kilometers and ASK available seat kilometers, they're generally on the rise, which signals, you know, strong rebound in air travel overall.
But I remember reading there are regional imbalances. It's not like a uniform recovery everywhere. How does that affect their day-to-day?
Absolutely right. Big regional differences. Mm-hmm. North America and Oceania, for instance, are showing signs of softness. Some U.S. carriers are adjusting capacity, kind of adopting a more cautious outlook. But then in stark contrast, you look at international markets like Asia Pacific, Latin America, they're experiencing really robust growth, much higher demand for wheels and brake services there.
And Europe?
Europe, meanwhile, is holding relatively stable. So this divergence, it directly shapes where companies like TP Aerospace have to choose to invest their capacity, their inventory, their people. They need to be incredibly agile to meet these shifting demands efficiently.
So what are airlines really looking for then from their maintenance partners in this kind of complex environment? Is it just about getting a repair done, or is it, you know, something more strategic?
That's a really key point. Nicolaj Jacobsen highlights this clear trend. Airlines are increasingly looking for long-term strategic partnerships, especially with specialized providers like TP Aerospace. They want agile, trustworthy solutions that are tailored to their very specific operational needs. It's definitely not just about getting a part fixed anymore.
Right.
It's about optimizing their entire operation. And this applies right across the board. Cargo, passenger, even ACMI operators.
ACMI.
Yeah. Aircraft crew, maintenance, and insurance. It's basically a complete aircraft leasing solution, like a wet lease. They need that reliability too.
Got it. So TP Aerospace calls themselves a value chain optimizer. What does that actually mean in practice? Like, what steps do they take to achieve that for the airlines?
It means they're actively working to reduce waste and increase efficiency throughout the whole maintenance process, not just their bit. They do this by working really closely with the OEMs, the original manufacturers, by maintaining pretty robust inventory buffers themselves, acting as a shock absorber, and by aligning super closely with their airline partners. That ensures continuity even when you hit those inevitable supply chain disruptions.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Like, they service the Ukrainian operator Supernova. They fly Boeing 737 NG freighters, mainly through their facility in Brno, Czech Republic. And then there's a UK-based ACMI specialist, Ascend Airways. Their whole 737X fleet, existing and planned, is supported by TP Aerospace's shop in the East Midlands. It's that kind of close embedded partnership.
Okay. It sounds like predictability, transparency, and just, well, peace of mind are really what airlines are demanding right now.
That's spot on. Yeah. Airlines just don't want to be worrying if, you know, a specific type of fastener is stuck in some producer's backlog somewhere. They want partners who get the entire wheels and brakes ecosystem, who can proactively mitigate those risks before they become AOG's aircraft on ground.
Yeah. AOGs are expensive.
Hugely expensive. And what's interesting is how this demand, this need for operational reliability at a predictable cost, it's actually converging across all types of airlines now. Doesn't matter if you're low cost, full service, cargo, ACMI, everyone wants that reliability. It's making flexibility and customization the real differentiators in MRO partnerships today.
So beyond just the core repair work, what other kinds of integrated services do they offer to meet these, well, pretty broad and sophisticated demands?
They offer quite a range. There are these fully integrated exchange flat rate programs. That's where the customer pays a fixed rate per landing, basically. Very predictable. Then there are land for less or LFL programs, a bit less integrated maybe, where customers pay a fixed fee per exchange event. Still predictable, just structured differently. They also maintain, they claim, the largest independent spares stock in the aftermarket. They actively buy up inventory, whether it's serviceable or needs repair. Plus, critically, they provide 24/7 OEM service for those AOG situations, or just routine delivery. And they distribute new OEM parts too. So it really is trying to be end-to-end lifecycle support.
And what about innovation in this sector? Is it all just about making repairs more efficient, or are they pushing any technological boundaries?
Innovation is definitely a continuous journey for them, particularly around sustainability and process efficiency. They're constantly evaluating how to make the repair and overhaul processes themselves better, faster, and greener.
Right.
Which is challenging, right? Some steps are tough, labor-intensive, often involve chemicals.
Right, which they're trying to reduce.
Exactly. Actively working to reduce or replace them. These improvements, they don't just help the environment. They enhance employee safety, they can reduce costs, and those savings can then either be passed on to customers, making them more competitive, or reinvested in, say, upskilling their workforce.
And looking ahead, I guess technology plays a pretty big role in their strategy.
Oh, absolutely. They're making significant investments in automation, digital tracking throughout their processes. That's becoming standard. But maybe even more impactful is their focus on leveraging AI and machine learning, particularly in their planning processes.
How does that help?
Well, the idea is it helps them predict and then mitigate potential supply chain disruptions before they happen. If you connect this back to the bigger picture, the wider industry impact, it's all about turning that inherent uncertainty into reliability for the airlines so they can focus on flying their planes, not chasing parts.
Okay, that's a great overview of the TP Aerospace perspective. Now let's maybe shift our focus a bit. Let's bring in Laurent Boussu, the managing director of Antavia, to get another crucial perspective on this market. What's their unique angle or contribution?
Right, Antavia. They've got a rich history, actually, over 30 years, though they've been part of Amatec MRO since 2007. Their activities are really broad. They cover commercial aviation, sure, but also business jets, helicopters, and even military sectors. This diverse portfolio gives them a very sort of nuanced understanding of different operational demands, different pressures, different needs.
And they also have multiple specialized locations, right? Each seems to serve a very particular need.
That's correct. Their corporate HQ and a specialized workshop are down in Campsis. That's just north of Toulouse Airport. It's dedicated primarily to supporting the ATR turboprop and Dassault production lines. And also, interestingly, Airbus Transport International's unique fleet of Beluga ST and the newer Beluga XL aircraft, those big whale planes. Then they have a larger facility up near Paris, in Le Mesnil-Amelot, right on the edge of Charles de Gaulle Airport, and near Le Bourget, too. That one handles commercial, business, and military aircraft. Significant work for Air France, obviously,
yeah.
But also a lot of business aviation clients flying into Le Bourget. They cover a whole range of aircraft types there.
Business jets. You mentioned Dassault.
Yeah, they work very closely with Dassault Aviation Falcon Spares, DAS, and Dassault Aviation Business Services, DABAS. They even recently delivered the very first set of wheels and brakes for the prototype of the new Dassault Falcon 10X.
Wow.
And they also have a growing workshop out in Singapore, tapping into that Asia-Pacific growth we mentioned.
The business aviation market sounds particularly demanding. You mentioned Le Bourget clients, especially that emphasis on quick turnaround times. What makes it so challenging?
It absolutely is. Very high expectations for reduced turnaround times, TRTs. Often, they expect a wheel back in like 48 to 72 hours.
That's incredibly fast.
It is, especially when you think about what's involved. It's a complex overhaul. It involves pressure testing, paint stripping, balancing, rigorous NDT, non-destructive testing to make sure every single component meets incredibly stringent safety standards. And what's more, companies like Dassault, they even require the wheels to be completely resprayed at every tire change, not just when overhauled. So that adds another layer of complexity and time pressure to these rapid turnarounds.
And military work is a significant part of their business too, and growing. What kind of aircraft are we talking about there?
Yes, it's quite diverse actually. They support Boeing on the USAF C-17 fleet based in Europe, Sabena Technics for the French Air Force's Airbus A330 tanker fleet and their VIP aircraft, also Lockheed Martin C-130 Hercules, plus work through Air France for the French Air Force's Boeing E-3F AOACS planes. So from large transports to tankers to specialized surveillance aircraft, it really underscores their specialized capabilities across different air forces and platforms.
That sounds like a lot of moving parts, a lot of different client needs. How do airlines generally approach their wheel and brake maintenance? Is there like a standard model, or is it more varied than that?
According to Laurent Boussu, it's actually very diverse. Some airlines, especially larger ones, maintain their own in-house wheels and brake shops, handle everything themselves. Others might do the basic tire changes in-house, on the line, but then outsource the more complex overhaul work to specialists like Antavia.
Okay.
Some might choose to subcontract only very specialized repairs, things they can't do themselves. While others use outside shops mainly for overflow work, you know, when their own capacity is stretched during peak seasons or unexpected events. So maintenance providers like Antavia, they really need to be incredibly flexible to integrate with all these different airline operational strategies.
I heard you mention tire work specifically can be quite unpredictable, even with all the planning. Can you maybe elaborate on why that is? Seems like it should be straightforward.
Yeah, this raises that important question again about managing unpredictability. Tire wear is indeed highly cyclical, but it's also surprisingly dependent on outside temperature.
Temperature? How so?
Well, there's a rule of thumb in the industry, apparently, that every 1 degree C increase in ambient temperature can cost you about 10 landings in terms of tire life. Laurent Boussu mentioned from his own airline experience, a tire that might happily do 400 cycles in winter could potentially only achieve 200 in the heat of summer.
Wow, that's half.
Exactly. And think about long-haul flights. They cross different climate zones all the time, or you get unexpected freeze periods or sudden heat waves. All that significantly alters wear levels in ways that are hard to predict precisely.
Are there other factors too?
Oh yeah. Other major factors include how pilots use thrust reverse versus brakes, how hard they brake, and even the abrasion levels of specific runways and taxiways. Some surfaces just wear tires faster.
So even with averages and forecasts, there are always these surprises that can just throw planning completely off. How do they even manage that kind of volatility?
Well, Laurent Boussu, he humorously calls load planning their daily nightmare because you have these inherent uncertainties plus that constant demand from customers for fast TRTs. He gave an example, apparently, of customer forecasting. They'd send 300 wheels in one quarter. They plan for that, right? Staffing, parts. Then only 180 actually showed up.
Ouch.
Yeah, leading to a significant drop in their expected annual requirement from that customer. So that kind of volatility, it just requires immense flexibility and really quick adaptation from their operations team, constantly adjusting to real-world demand, not just forecasts.
Okay, what about brakes specifically? Is there a dominant technology there, or are they seeing similar kinds of unpredictability?
With brakes, carbon brakes are definitely dominant now, no question. Wrong. Even on aircraft like the Boeing 737, where steel brakes are still technically an option, the shift to carbon is clear and significant.
Why is that? They're more expensive, right?
They are significantly more expensive up front. But their lighter weight translates directly into lower fuel consumption for the airline. And their far superior durability means much longer maintenance cycles. So airlines increasingly see them as a strategic investment that pays back over time rather than just an expense line item.
And who controls the supply of these high-tech carbon brakes? Is it an open market like wheels might be, or is there a different dynamic?
This is where the OEMs, the original manufacturers, are particularly dominant. They really control the prices to third-party MROs like Antavia or TP Aerospace. And crucially, no PMAs, parts manufacturer approvals, like alternative suppliers, are available for these critical components.
So no third-party versions?
Nope. The carbon heat stack, which is the absolute core braking component, that's their exclusive preserve. In fact, Lambisou mentioned it's often supplied to MROs on a unique embodiment loan basis.
Embodiment loan.
Yeah, it essentially means the MRO leases the super expensive heat stack from the OEM just for the duration of the repair process, rather than buying it outright. Then it goes back on to the next unit. It ensures the OEM maintains tight control over this critical high-value technology.
Fascinating. And looking even further ahead, what's on the horizon for brake technology beyond carbon?
Well, the next big thing seems to be electric brakes. They're an upcoming requirement for newer aircraft designs like the Airbus A220 and the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. This is going to require significant investment from maintenance providers. They'll need different types of test benches, new tooling, specialized training. It marks another evolution in the technology and consequently the demands on the MRO sector.
Right. Okay, so to round out our picture now, let's bring in the OEM perspective, specifically from Safran Landing Systems. How do they see these trends playing out from their vantage point as, you know, the original equipment manufacturer?
Yeah, looking at it from an MRO standpoint within Safran, they absolutely see that strong trend towards carbon technology as critical. It just offers so many advantages. Lighter equipment, which means fuel savings, greater energy absorption capacity for safety, and faster cooldown times compared to steel, which helps with quicker turnarounds on the ground. The numbers speak for themselves, really. In 2023, Safran noted that an impressive 87% of all commercial aircraft with 100 seats or more were already equipped with their carbon brakes.
87%? Wow, so carbon is definitely leading the way. Has the post-COVID air traffic recovery actually accelerated that shift? Or maybe presented new challenges for adopting it?
It has definitely accelerated it. Safran reports that their carbon brake production is actually higher now than pre-COVID levels. And that's driven by two main things happening at once. First, those unprecedented production ramp-ups by the airframers, Boeing and Airbus, trying to deliver new aircraft. And second, the growing maintenance needs of airlines because of the strong recovery in air traffic we've seen.
So more planes flying means more brake maintenance.
Exactly. More planes flying means more cycles, more demand for brake maintenance, and more new planes being delivered means more carbon brakes entering service that will eventually need that maintenance. It's a double boost.
Do OEMs like Safran also offer those flexible, tailored MRO solutions we heard about earlier from TP Aerospace and Antavia? Or is their approach more standardized because they're the manufacturer?
No, they absolutely adapt to specific airline needs too. Safran offers a really comprehensive range of services. It can be anything from just basic heatsink exchanges all the way up to all-inclusive support packages. Those can even include managing the component supply chain and handling tire changes for the airline. Total care, essentially.
Okay.
And as part of this tailor-made approach, they also provide those cost per landing or CPL contracts we discussed.
Right, the fixed cost per flight cycle.
Yeah. And those are particularly appealing, Safran finds, to airlines with large fleets. Because it makes their maintenance and repair costs variable, directly linked to their traffic levels, their revenue generation. It allows operators to manage their MRO costs much more predictably.
And how do they ensure quick support globally? Being an OEM, they must have customers everywhere.
They have a pretty robust network. Safran has its own MRO workshop strategically located, like in the USA, and they're establishing more soon in Asia. Plus, they have MRO partnerships around the world to cover major airports, aiming for very short turnaround times. Their U.S. subsidiary, for example, Wheel and Brake Repair and Services, relies on 5 repair stations spread across the country. That gets them close to their customers. Meanwhile, the actual wheels, brakes, and heat sinks are manufactured centrally, for instance, at their plant in Walton, Kentucky. So it's a combination of central manufacturing and distributed MRO support.
Are OEMs like Safran also investing in advanced tech like AI to manage demand? Similar to what TP Aerospace is doing, but maybe on a different scale or for different reasons.
Absolutely. Safran is actively developing projects that leverage artificial intelligence. Given their role as the primary manufacturer, their AI focus isn't just about managing MRO inventory like a third party might. It's more about anticipating demand across the entire global fleet's lifecycle, using data to optimize their own production schedules and supply chains for things like carbon disk exchanges at a really foundational level.
So trying to smooth out the whole process from the start.
Exactly. The overarching goal here seems to be anticipating needs much earlier and optimizing the entire life cycle of these critical components, from initial manufacturing right through maintenance, repair, and eventual replacement.
And that push for efficiency and sustainability we talked about, that clearly continues right up to the OEM level, in their designs and manufacturing too.
Yes, it's a major focus for them as well. The trend, the demand from airlines, is clearly towards increasingly robust brakes that need less frequent overhauls, have short turnaround times when they do need work, and are lightweight to help reduce fuel consumption. That drives OEM design. And on the sustainability front, Safran highlights something pretty cool. They're able to remanufacture used carbon brake discs as new.
Remanufacture, not just repair.
Right. By reusing or recycling up to 50% of the old disc material, depending on the specific configuration, they guarantee the exact same level of performance and safety as a brand new disc. But this process significantly reduces the need for virgin raw materials and cuts down the energy associated with manufacturing. It's a genuinely circular economy approach for these really high-value, energy-intensive parts.
Wow. Okay, so from the relentless cyclical demands of just takeoffs and landings, through the intricate dance of global supply chains, navigating regional economic shifts, all the way to cutting-edge materials like carbon. It's really clear that the world of aircraft wheels and brakes is far more dynamic, far more strategic than it probably seems on the surface. We've seen how companies like TP Aerospace under Nicola Jacobson and Antavia led by Laurent Boussu are constantly adapting to airline demands for, you know, predictability and efficiency. While the OEMs like Safran are driving innovation in the actual design, the materials, and even sustainability through things like remanufacturing.
Yeah, what's really fascinating here is how every single part of this ecosystem interconnects, doesn't it? From individual flight cycles, adding wear, to global economic shifts, changing demand patterns, to technological advancements like AI helping predict needs, or new tech like electric brakes changing the hardware. It all has to work together to keep our planes safe and flying reliably. It's this constant balancing act between anticipating demand, fostering innovation, and just managing incredible logistical complexity, all in the service of keeping aircraft moving and, you know, dependable.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, next time you're on a flight? Well, perhaps you'll have a newfound appreciation for those crucial, hardworking components tucked away under the wings, silently doing their vital work on every single landing. And maybe with this ongoing drive towards more robust, lighter weight, and even electric brakes on the horizon, it raises an important question to ponder. How might future aircraft design itself be further shaped, maybe even constrained or enabled by the very parts that ultimately bring them to a halt? Something to think about on your next journey.